Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. On this show, I'll discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well. With respect, or I'll push the kick button and you'll... This is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Well, hello everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest on the show, the call-in number, we'll get everything adjusted here. The call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. Please be aware of the fruit bat alert, the fruit bat warning, the aforementioned fruit bat warning. If you come in here and you want to engage in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, gaslighting, character assassinations, trolling, things of that sort, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be agreeable or respectful in your interactions on this program. Anyway, hope you guys are doing well out there. We're finally getting some cool weather here in Durham, North Carolina, you know, for the past few weeks. And a lot of rain and a cold front came through. Didn't bring us much rain, but it brought some cooler temperatures. And you know, my wife and I, we've been out and about. My wife noticed her eyesight was, she noticed her eyesight was getting a little dim and whatever. We had to take her to get an eye exam, and she has to wear glasses. And the thing about it, I'm not so sure I'm going to be used to my wife wearing glasses because she's never had to wear them. A few years ago, we... you know, she had an eye exam at the North Carolina State Fair, and they said her eyes were perfect, you know. So, you know, I attested to being due to age, you know. Sometimes when you age, you know, your eyes get a little blurry and everything, stuff like that, but that's nothing to be all bent out of shape about or anything like that, you know. It's just, you know, age taking its course, you know. I know a lot of you I know a lot of you Word of Faith preachers out there, you know, say you shouldn't be getting sick or you shouldn't be aging at a certain time or whatever, but that's just how it is. So let me turn this up so I can hear my voice better. Okay. But anyway, seems like everything is in working order. I've been having some trouble with my Skype and the communication here on Blog Talk Radio. It seems like everything's going good right now, so the show will go on. And I just sometimes when I come on this program, you get the feeling that you're continually beating a dead horse, gnawing on an old bone, you know. And of course, you all know what this program is about. And I don't need to go into all that. But this thing about racism, you know, it's really taking it's going too far in our society today, because, you know, whenever we speak of racism, we always think of the white on black and brown variety, but we never think about, well, what about the black and brown on white variety? We only think that white people are the racists, you know, and we continually tell people that when it comes to slavery, you know, people say, you know, racism is born out of slavery, and that white people, they try to spread their white supremacy around the world and all that stupid mess and everything. And when you try to tell them that it didn't happen that way, that the slaves in Africa were actually sold to white people, who therefore brought them to their countries to serve in, you know, in the slave trade or whatever, you know, when you tell them that, they say, well, the white people didn't have to take them and sell them into slavery, as if it's still the white people's fault. But slavery... Well, one thing you have to understand too about slavery is that, when they make these statements like this, it lets you know they're getting wise to what we've been saying for years, that white people didn't just see a bunch of black people say, ooh, people that we can make slaves out of, and then started kidnapping black people from their villages and whatever. When you start telling them that white folks couldn't survive 6 weeks in the deepest, darkest of Africa, and that they had to stay on the shoreline close to the coast of Africa, and their black conspirators had to bring the slaves to them to sell them on the coast. You know, they start getting smarter now. They say, well, you know, the white people didn't have to buy the slaves. But we never put the blame of slavery on the blacks, on the black Africans. We never put that burden on them. And they say, well, the white man stole us from our lands. They forced Christianity on us, and they had us to serve, you know, for 400 years, which I don't know where people are getting this 400 years thing from. I don't know where they're getting that from. The American slave trade did not last 400 years. Slavery in America did not last for 400 years. The first indentured servants, the first black indentured servants, were brought to America in 1619. They were indentured servants. They weren't exactly slaves. In 1619. No more than 200 years later, slavery was abolished in America. So where they get this 400 years thing from? And see, people, I think the reason why people keep saying 400 years is because it's been 403 years since those indentured servants were brought to America. And they think that, you know, we're still living in that same type of bondage that they were living in to this day. And they get up there and they speak and they say, you know, we black people, we've really gone through, and people need to understand what we're going through. And my thing is, you all need to speak for yourselves. Because they talk about the oppression that we're going through in this country. They talk about, black people are so oppressed and we got to go through this and the police hunt us down and they treat us different than the white folks and the same crimes that white folks skate by on. They won't let black people skate by on and everything and stuff like that. But these people act like they speak for all of us. And they don't. You don't speak for me, Mr. Black leader, so-called black leader. You don't speak for me. And then when someone like myself says, hey, I'm not being oppressed by white people in this country, because I'm not. And if black people will be honest with themselves, they're not being oppressed by white people in this country either. But they see the shootings on TV. They see the cop killings and whatever, and they see that on TV. And because they're not given an alternative viewpoint, they think that this goes on forever. This is always what happens. Every day we go through this. We go through this every day. Every day a black person is getting shot and killed by the police, when that is not true. And even when you show them that what they believe or what they're thinking is not the truth, They allow the cognitive dissonance to grasp a hold of their mind, still want to follow the lie. And this is one of the main reasons why I've cut out certain of my pastimes out of my life now, such as the NFL, Disney, certain other effects out there, because these people care more about being woke than they do about truth. You know, this past Sunday, a friend of mine called me, told me, Vincent, your team won. About the NFL anymore, because every time I turn on the TV and I watch an NFL game, I see a statement in the end zone that says, stop racism. And then another end zone, it takes all of us. And I don't want to see that. And whenever they talk about stop racism, they're not talking about all racism, all forms of racism. They're only talking about the white on black and brown variety. That's the only racism that they're talking about. And I'm not so sure if it's as prominent as the white on black and brown racism, but I don't hear a lot of people say anything about white on Asian racism. I think it was last year that kid shot up those beauty salons or whatever around Atlanta. He killed six people. Four of them were white, two were Asian. But they said this is an example of white on Asian violence, when the violence that is being directed by Asians is not being directed mostly by white folks. It's being mostly directed by black folks. But you don't hear anyone talk about black on Asian violence, because that doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't make a good story. You know, we got to talk about the white folks and what they're doing. And you go to certain YouTube channels and Facebook pages and everything, and all you hear is white supremacy. What we see going on today is because of white supremacy. White people this and white people that. White people try to turn the world into white supremacy land. They want to subject everybody under them. And if you are a white person, you are part of the problem. They don't care about your actions or anything like that. They just think because you're white, that means you're part of the problem simply because you're white. And I've been talking about this for years. For years, people talk this stuff. Oh, the white man this and the white man that and the white man this. And see, when you point your finger at someone else, when you try to project the problems within your own community onto someone else, See, it leads to you not solving the problems in that community. You always want to point to the racism in white people, but you don't point towards the racism in your own folks, within your own folks. And then you try to counter that by saying, oh, black people cannot be racist because we don't have the power to be racist. Racism is a political construct, which in a way, I do believe that in a way. But that does not mean that black people cannot be racist. In my almost 54 years of living, the most racism that I have experienced have been from other black people. The most racism that I have witnessed have been from other black people. But we can't be racist. We can be biased. We can be prejudiced. Oh, so is it okay to be biased and prejudiced? You try to soften the fall by your diversions, but it doesn't soften the fall. Yesterday, my wife and I, we were, my wife had a craving for some Hardee's, which is a rare thing because my wife is not a fast food aficionado. And we were driving by a Methodist church here in Durham, and it said, you know, we are against racism. And it gets to the point where you see a sign like that, that you just have to sigh, and you're like, man, I'm tired of this mess. Because you know why they put those signs up. They're not talking about black on white racism. When you go into the churches and they start talking about racism, they're not going to talk about the black on white racism. They're always going to talk about the white on black variety. And you got a lot of guilty white folks. You go to the white churches and they talk about racism. They don't talk about the racism that's being directed at them. They always talk about the racism that has been directed at black people by other members of their race. Very rarely do you go into a church. Very rarely. And this is why I kind of look at the church kind of sideways, because it's always a one-sided deal when it comes to racism. You get white people out there talking about, oh, I'm sorry for what my ancestors did to yours. Why are you apologizing for something you didn't even have a hand in? But you never say, okay, black folks, we apologize to you. Now you need to apologize for your racism against us. It's almost like they want to coddle to the black race to gain some type of favor. And it really is all about politics. We've made this thing a political issue. And it be honest with you, individually it drives me up the wall, because I'm tired of, you know, hearing about what white people have done and what they are not doing today, for the most part. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those people that say there are no white racists in this country. I'm pretty sure there are. But if we're going to harp on white racism, we need to harp on all racism, because all of it is just as equally as evil as the other. White racism isn't the biggest racism in this world. Racism is racism. Racism involves hatred. White people hating black people, black people hating white people hating Hispanics, stuff like that. Racism is racism. And there's no big I's and little U's when it comes to racism. And to the white folks who might be under the sound of my voice, you all get a spine, please. I am sick and tired of hearing you all talk about white racism I'm sick and tired of you all talking about, hey, you know, the black people, they just celebrated Juneteenth. I'm sick and tired of it. You all need to get a spine, because the vast majority of you all really are not racist. And one thing that I've learned about the truth over these years is that the truth cramps people's style. Some people are still going to believe the lie when you tell them the truth, but does that mean that you need to tell the lie too? No, you stick to your guns. You go ahead and tell the truth. So when someone gets up there and they say, all lives matter, and they come up and say, no, that's offensive. That's offensive. No, I don't know why it offends you, because when I say all lives matter, that includes the black lives. But someone got in there somewhere and they started dictating the narrative. No, if you say all lives matter, see, you're demeaning the plight of black people. We understand that all lives matter. Oh, do you really? Do you? Why is it that when a black person dies at the hands of another black person, we don't get out there in protests? There might be a local protest with a few people, but it doesn't get nationwide coverage. Black person kills a white person? Yeah, okay. The law will handle it. But you don't think the law will handle a white person who kills a black person? You got to get out there and rage on the streets and set fires and throw bricks at businesses and beat up white folks and everything. I'm a realist. I don't take sides politically. I don't take sides politically. If one group is guilty of a sin, I'm gonna point it out. If the group that I'm part of is partaker of a sin, I'm pointing it out. Oh, you're a coon. You're just trying to be white. Okay, you go on with the gaslighting. But all you're doing is strengthening my resolve. Like I said so many times on this program, you're calling me names is not intimidating me. It's strengthening my resolve. Basically, you're trying to scare ants away from the picnic by throwing sugar on the ground. That's basically what you're doing when you call me a coon. You can call me coon. You can call me all them cute little names that y'all got out there and whatever. You trying to be white and you got to understand the white people, they've oppressed us and everything. I've been, I don't know if you all are familiar with this. There's a group of people. Well, it's several groups of them, but they come under one title. They're called the Black Hebrew Israelites. And there's a group of them that I call the Purple Yellers. They're the, they call Israel United in Christ. They're those guys you see on the street corners or whatever, and they're wearing the purple garb and everything. I guess Halloween comes early for them, so they want to dress the part. They wear those purple Power Ranger suits, and they out there they yelling at folks in John 3:16, for God so loved. And I'm like, y'all, why do y'all got to be so loud? Why? Well, the Bible says to cry loud and to spare not. Well, I can hear you. I don't need you digging down my ear like a gopher, okay? But they get out here and they talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, and this tribe was, you know, this tribe was this group of people. This tribe was this group of people. They go through all 12 tribes of Israel, they never designate any one of those tribes for white folks, because they believe that Jacob and Esau who were born to Isaac, they believe that they represent the black folks and the white folks. And that if you go into the Bible, you'll see that Jacob cheated Esau out of his birthright. And therefore, all of God's blessings went to Jacob instead of Esau, even though Esau was the firstborn. And they take it like, okay, this was the white race. Esau is the white race, and Jacob is the black race. And then they pull some scripture out of the Bible talking about Esau I have hated, but Jacob I have loved. And they say that this is why God is going to favor black people, and that eventually the black Jesus is going to take over the world and enslave all the white people. People, I'm not making this up. And this is a group that I've just become familiar with within the last 10 years, maybe. But here this year, I've been, you know, learning a little bit more about them. But they have different sects. You know, they have the IUIC, the ISUPKs, and I think it's like three or four more other sects. Each one has their different philosophy and everything. But the ones that have been growing in popularity lately are the IUICs, Israel United in Christ bunch. And those are guys you see in the purple and the yellow, and they out there, you know, yelling at folks and telling women they're not supposed to wear pants and to get rid of their jewelry and you know, things like that, and telling white folks that you're doomed to hell and all that and whatever. And I even heard them say, oh, we don't hate white people, but God does. Well, if the God that you follow hates white people, then guess what? You hate white people too. Now, we don't worship the same God, because I don't believe that God hates white people. But you see these guys out there, they yelling and everything. We don't have them in Durham. I'm kind of thinking that they're going to try to get Durham one day. Because they got a sect in Raleigh. But the ones in Durham, that's the ISUPKs. I haven't run into them yet. And they get up here, they yell in front of the churches. They say, we want to talk to you. No, you don't. You don't want to talk to them. You want to force your doctrine on them. They're telling people you shouldn't be worshiping on the Sabbath day. If you're worshiping on the Sabbath day, you're in rebellion against God. I've had them tell me you need to repent, and I tell them, repent for what? And see, apparently these people don't know anything about the love and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Well, you're not supposed to worship on Sunday. Well, the Bible says the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the seventh day. But see, once again, they don't understand the grace of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. They try to bring up Old Testament law and try to make that a law for us to follow today, which we could not follow every aspect of the law. That's why Jesus came to die for us. And it is by grace that we are saved, not by following the law. Because the Bible says, if you offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. But we couldn't follow the law. We couldn't follow it perfectly. That's why Jesus came to die. Now, that's not saying that Jesus came to die and his blood washed away our sins, and we can just do whatever we want to. No, that's not what that is saying. The Bible says that those ceremonial laws and whatever of the Jews in the Old Testament, those were a shadow of things to come. And Jesus himself said, don't think that I have come to destroy the law. I haven't come to destroy the law. I have come to fulfill it. That's why we don't have to worry about worshiping on Saturday or Sunday, or eating pork and beef and seafood and shellfish and all that other stuff. And I find it amazing that these guys read from the same Bible that I do, the King James Bible, and they don't understand this. There's no way you can read through the book of Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. There's no way you can read that and think that we still have to hold to the aspects of the law. Now, I'm not on here to be a preacher. I'm not a preacher, even though the Bible says that a follower of Christ is a minister of God. But I don't consider myself a preacher, so to speak. Someone called me a pastor the other day on my Facebook page. I said, well, I'm not a pastor, but I thank you for the sentiment, though. And she said, oh, well, the way you sound like a pastor. I said, hey, thanks for the sentiment, but I'm not a pastor. I'm basically a nondescript black man that lives in Durham, North Carolina. I appreciated that, though. I did. I appreciated that. It's not something that I'm trying to pursue. I'm not trying to pursue to be a preacher or a pastor or anything. My pursuit is in the truth. I have no problem with pastors and whatever, as long as they are preaching the word of God and not a lot of this nonsense that you hear from a lot of churches today. But these guys, they get up here and they yell at folks and tell women they're not supposed to wear pants and things like that. And, you know, I saw a video of one of this lady. She threw away her earrings. They were in the symbol of an ankh. It's like that cross that you see in Egypt with the loop at the top. And she threw those away, which I think was a good thing because that is a demonic symbol. But they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But she could throw away all her demonic stuff. If she does not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, she's still doomed for an eternity in an eternally warm climate. H-E double hockey sticks. The Bible says our good works is not what gets us into heaven. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. We can do all the good works we want to do. You know, these guys, they clean up neighborhoods and stuff like that. That's basically the only good that they do. But they think they're buying God's favor by doing good works. That's not how you buy God's favor. You buy God's favor by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm just saying, folks. I'm just saying. And see, it's because of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for all is the reason why I speak the way I do. This is why I don't get up and start talking Afrocentrist, you know, rhetoric. Because the problem I see in a lot of black churches, they want to preach more Afrocentrism than they do about God's word. They think that their position of being a preacher is their pulpit to preach about civil rights. And that's not what it is. Civil rights, when it is applied accurately, is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we see one race denigrating another race, yeah, speak out on it. But that's not the whole of the gospel. And see, a lot of us, you know, and I've said this before, a lot of us who call ourselves Christians in the black race, a lot of us who call ourselves Christians, we're going to find ourselves living in an eternally warm climate because we cared more about our skin color and our civil rights and our politics than we do about the truth of God's word. I was pretty disheartened this past June 24th, when Roe v. Wade was overturned and it was brought down from being a federal law to a state law, to a state issue, let me say that, from being a federal issue to a state issue, hardly any churches celebrated it. Some churches here in Durham, I expected them to celebrate it. They ain't talk nothing about it. Huh? Roe v. Wade overturned? Huh? Oh, y'all don't care about women's bodies. Oh, but they talk about Juneteenth. Like, oh man, Juneteenth, good thing. We should have been celebrating the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Because innocent unborn lives were given a chance to live. Why in the world weren't we celebrating that? Oh, we'll celebrate Black History Month. We'll celebrate Martin Luther King Jr., but we won't celebrate the overturning of an ungodly law. And this is how delusional a lot of Black people are. They don't even understand the motives behind the woman who started Planned Parenthood. And I tell people, just look up the Negro Project. There's even a book that came out recently on Amazon called The Negro Project. I got that book. And basically what The Negro Project was about was Margaret Sanger, you know, she studied Black people. And she said the people who had the most influence on Black folks are their ministers and their preachers. So I'm going to go to these ministers and preachers and persuade them to accept my principles of contraception. The preachers bought it hook, line, and sinker. And one of the main things you hear preachers talking about today is a woman's right to choose. And they don't realize that they are killing off their own race. Most abortions, the highest percentage of abortions occur among Black women. Oh, but police officers are gunning down our kids in the streets. Are they gunning down, I don't know, as many as 1,500 a day? Are they gunning down anywhere from 500,000 to 1.5 million unborn children every year? Pretty soon, officers killing Black people won't be an issue because you know why? Won't be any Black people left. The bigger issue. I don't even think 30 Black unarmed Black men were killed by police last year. But nearly 1,000 Black people are murdered every single day through abortion. But no outcry on that. We got to stick to civil rights. That's what we need to stick to, civil rights. You know, we got to stop them Republicans from overturning our voting rights. Show me where they're doing that. Well, if you can't see it, then I don't know what to No. See, and they go off on that because they know they don't have an answer. Someone's just fed them that talking point so much, and they use that talking point as an answer for the way they think. Oh, you just check out the statistics. Look, the statistics are out there. See, I'm not going to tell you. You're not going to tell me because you don't have an answer. You can't give me a specific case of what you're thinking. And you want to talk about sellouts? Your very Black leaders, who you hold so high and mighty, you bow down and kiss their feet. Those are your sellouts right there. Because these rascals, they live comfortable. They live high on the hog. They don't even live in your communities. They live in mansions and nice houses and drive nice cars. They dress nice. and they come around talking about civil rights this and what the white man is doing and what the white man needs to do and all this. And rich folks need to pay their fair share and all that. And these rascals are living high off the hog. If that's not a sign of Marxism, I don't know what is. Because that's what Marxists do. The Marxists, they pit the poor class against the working class. They pit the working class against the corporations. And they sit there and they let them squabble and everything. And these elites, they sit there, they live high off the hog. I guarantee you, during the time of the Soviet Union, the Soviet leaders, they weren't starving. Their citizens were, but they weren't. Cuba, the Castros weren't starving, and they sit here, they pit you against one another. They just said, look at them, sit there, huh? Give me a big old leg of chicken over there. Oh, man, look at all the mashed potatoes. But you got these people, they had to go to different locations to get different ingredients to make dinner for their families. And then they try to bring that philosophy here to America and say that communism is the way to go and capitalism is evil and is created by white folks to keep other people in subjection. And you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know what capitalism or communism is. Capitalism promises to reward you for hard work. It gives an equal opportunity. It doesn't give an equal outcome. But see, communism tries to give an equal outcome. But in doing so, some people need to be eradicated. That's why 100 million people were murdered by leaders of communism this past century. And it seems like everywhere communism shows its head, they get some kind of famine. It happened in China, Soviet Union, Cuba, Ethiopia. Still want to sing the praises of communism. We still want to sing those praises. Oh, communism. I don't make this stuff up. I do not make this stuff up. But that's how that. And we got these young people that have cotton candy for brains. They think they know everything because they went to college and their professor told them all this and all. And they didn't even go and try to research it on their own about what's really going on in this country. They just trust their professors and their teachers and whatever. All these universities that you see, they're nothing but socialist. They're socialist factories. That's all they are. Which is why I don't understand why, you know, you got certain churches in this country. They push Christian education, Christian education. Christian education. We can't let the public schools teach our children, you know, because they want to get rid of the Bible and things like that, which they do. Yes, they do. But then when their children graduate from high school and their child says, yes, I'm going to UNC. We sit there. Oh, I'm so proud of you. You're going to UNC. You're going to a big school. Oh, I am so proud of you. If you think the public schools were bad, you think the public schools are bad, you ain't seen nothing yet in these colleges. You haven't seen anything yet. And I see this all the time because I used to go to this particular church here in Durham, and every now and then I'll go up there to the graduation because I'm still friends with people up there and whatever. And some of the kids, they graduate and everything. They say, oh, I'm going to this university. I'm going to that university. I'm going to that university. And I'm sitting here like, okay, you've been to a Christian school for all these years. And you think by flooding the colleges with these kids that were brought up in a Christian school, that is going to turn out the colleges. But instead, the colleges turn them out. I've seen it so many times. I have seen it so many times. And then the people in the school, they'll be like, how could you do this? How could you follow after this? You went to a Christian school. Well, I'll tell you why they got turned out, because they never got born again. Just because they went to a Christian school doesn't mean they were Christians. And we bring them up in these Christian schools. I'm not saying I'm against Christian schools. Don't get me wrong. I am not against Christian schools. I think we need Christian schools to teach the Bible and whatever, because in the public schools, they're not teaching that. Okay, by the simple fact that we have a Christian school, this kid's going to a Christian school, you know, oh, they've been here for 12 years. Oh, yeah, we pumped the word of God in them and everything, that they're going to go out to UNC or NC State or North Carolina Central University or NCANT or Wake Forest or whatever, and we think they're going to turn that place out. And it turns out to be the other way around. And I looked at some of these kids, they like, man, I can't wait to get out of this school. I can't wait. They get out, you know, and the very things that they preached against in the Christian schools, the kids, they just go wholeheartedly for it. Get them a bunch of girlfriends, get them pregnant, get tattoos, the men start wearing earrings. Some of them become little punks. Some of the girls become little bulldaggers. But they were raised in a Christian school. Oh, they graduated. Look at the rate of graduation we have here. Bunk. So what? If they're not adhering to the truth, go ahead and teach it to them. You can teach it to them, but just because they went to a Christian school does not mean that when they go to the college, it's going to turn it out. Yeah, we're going to flood these colleges with these students from here. Most of them students are not born again. Most of them students don't even believe the Bible. I remember my wife, she was at one of the graduations, and every time a student graduates, they give them a Bible. And my wife said, they're just going to throw them Bibles away. I don't know why they give them a Bible. They're just going to throw them away. And one of the sisters was like, don't speak that. Don't speak that. Well, it's the truth. They might keep the Bible and it grows dust and everything on it. But they throw away the principles they're in. Okay, I got this Bible for graduating. Okay, I'll just sit it over here. Them kids are not thinking about no Bible. And folks, I do not know why I got off onto this today. I really don't. Maybe it needs to be said. Maybe it needs to be heard. I mean, we keep our kids away from the hornet's nest that is the public schools, but then they graduate and we throw them into the lion's den, which is our colleges and universities. And not only that, they go there and they come up with these erroneous majors, Middle Eastern studies and European puppet mastery or something. I mean, what in the world? Here in Duke University, a preacher asked them, you know, what do you want to do when you get out of school? They couldn't tell. And at that time, I think they were paying like $14,000 a semester. And you mean to tell me your folks or whatever, you're spending this amount of money and you don't even know what you want to be when you get out of the school. And see, the problem is going to university has become a source of pride with a lot of us. Oh, my child goes to UNC, Tar Heel. My child goes to North Carolina A&T. He's an Aggie. My child goes to North Carolina Central University. He's an Eagle. My child goes to North Carolina State University. He's part of the Wolfpack. But your pride in your child is not going to make them, is not going to get them a career. That's why when I grew up, I really didn't care about pride in, you know, I didn't want my folks to be proud of me. I just wanted them to accept me for who I was. Not, you know, oh, I'm so proud of you. Pride? What is pride? Get me a good job when I graduate from college? Or is it a result of the source of accomplishment that you feel and your parent and your pride just swells and you're like, that's my child. My child graduated summa cum laude from Harvard. And I believe the reason why this country is in the shape that it's in, because a lot of us have mixed up priorities. We have messed up priorities in this country. That's why, you know, that's why there's a lot of hypocrisy. You got people talking about, oh, this is wrong, but they're involved in it themselves. Democrats. Got something in my throat there. People don't stop and think about what they are really thinking about. They don't understand why they think the way they do. Just someone feeding something into their ear on a constant basis, they become familiar with it and then they repeat it. That's a problem. That's a huge problem in this country today. And we think because, oh, we're Americans, we're in the United States of America, you know, we get that sense of pride. Yeah, I'm proud to be an American. But your pride gets you nowhere. The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Your pride might produce some goosebumps, but it's not going to produce a good job for your child. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Oh, come here. I'm so proud of you. My mom, when back in the early 80s, I was a member of a baseball team in Prince George's County, Maryland. And our baseball team, with the exception of another team, we sucked. We were the second worst team in that conference. And one of the main reasons why we sucked was because of a kid named Vincent Edward Brown. Yours truly. Because my batting average was 0.000. I didn't get a hit all season. Because I'm just not an athlete. And when the season was over, get a knock at the door. Here's one of our teammates giving us trophies, participation trophies, for being on that team. And my mom still has those trophies. The gold paint or whatever has fallen off of them and everything. She said, Vincent, I still got these trophies if you want them. It was a trophy for me and one for my brother. My brother was probably slightly better than I was, but he wasn't all that good either. And my mom said, hey, I still got the trophies if you want. I'm like, you can keep them. What do I want with a trophy when I really didn't contribute to the team? This participation thing that they keep pushing today, oh, you get everybody gets a trophy. I just don't believe in that. And even then, I was like, how in the world we get trophies? I wasn't even one of the best players on the team. And even today, I'm like, man, I don't want that trophy. Keep that trophy. Burn it. Throw it in the trash or something. I mean, maybe I should get possession of it because I'm dumping it right in the trash. It's no sense of accomplishment with that trophy because I really didn't contribute to the team. Really, I just didn't. That's just how I feel about it. That's how I feel about this. You know, we got to give somebody a trophy and everything. If you didn't accomplish anything, that's what you get. You get nothing. And I'm not tearing myself down when I say that, but I just sucked. I mean, I sucked as a baseball player. I sucked at all athletics for the most part. Couldn't play basketball. As tall as I was, I wasn't good at basketball, and people shaking their heads, oh, he's so tall, he can't play basketball. I was more of a reader. I was more of a reader, you know. I was more into nature and stuff like that, going to the woods and say, ooh, look at that on that tree trunk and, you know, stuff like that, you know. But I never heard a law that said if you're taller than 6 feet, you're supposed to play basketball. Whatever law, wherever that came from, someone didn't, I still never got the memo. I mean, really. But I didn't care. I don't care about that trophy. I do not care about that trophy because I didn't accomplish anything to get it. And if you get an award, you know, I want to get something that shows that reminds me of the hard work I put in to earn this, not just because I was part of something. But every now and then, my mom says, "Hey, Benson." Well, hey, that would be good if I get, you know, if I get a trophy for best podcast. That now I think that would be something I earned right there, you know. But just being a member of a baseball team and I really didn't contribute to it, nah. But anyway, I am at the top of the hour. Coming at the top of the hour, I need to do a couple of advertisements, and when I come back, we'll continue on with the show. You are listening to Black Bicolor Only on CNM Radio.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that I and the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil fields and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at.
Media, America's best truth detector.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you'd like to be a guest to call in to the program, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. 5284. And I basically didn't have a specific subject that I talked about in the first hour. It's basically a hodgepodge of things I see going on around our communities and whatever. And just speaking my opinion on some things that I see going on. I was talking about the trophies my mom said she has for us, and I'm like, you can keep them trophies. You know, I want them trophies anyway because the paint is peeling off of them, you know, and whatever. I mean, these trophies are 40 years old. So, you know, and whenever I think of a trophy or something like that, whenever I go into someone's house and I see a trophy sitting on their mantle or whatever, to me, it ushers a sense of accomplishment. Something that was earned, something that they did to get that trophy, not something that they just got rewarded simply because they were part of a group or something like that, you know. And, you know, in our little sensitive society today, you know, that's what we come to expect, you know. When I was teaching in a school here in Durham, North Carolina, you know, and they will hand out awards. They had to give an award to somebody, you know, if the child didn't make any accomplishment, we had to give him an award. You know, he had the whitest teeth or, you know, or something like that. You know, we had to give an award for something. And back in my day, coming up in school, if you didn't make the accomplishment, you were not going to get an award for it. You didn't get an award for it. And we have parents today, they cry, they whine because, you know, this child got an award, but my child didn't get an award. Well, your child didn't accomplish anything. That's not fair. Life is not fair. That's how I look at it. I mean, life is not fair. But if you didn't do anything to earn an award or a reward for something, you don't just... You know, I mean, if a person sees a child being molested and he comes and he beats the crap out of that man and whatever, police come and arrest him and everything and stuff like that, people deem that man a hero. They don't deem the neighborhood he lives in as a bunch of heroes. They deem him a hero. He's the one that receives the award for his bravery. And we're so sensitive in our country today, you know, everyone has to have an equal outcome. No, if you want an equal outcome, you need to put in the same amount of work that the other person did. And that doesn't guarantee you you're going to get an equal outcome either. Let's take the NFL, for example. Every year, those teams, you know, I would like to think that they practice hard during the off season. Because their ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl. And if they don't put in the work, they don't do what they need to do to win their games, they're not going to win the Super Bowl or at least make it to the Super Bowl. Now, you know, there are several teams that haven't won the Super Bowl, you know, the Lions, the Falcons, the Panthers, you know, and several more that have never won the Super Bowl. How would we feel if we say, okay, well, we've been living in the age of the Super Bowl for around 50 years now, and these teams have never made it. You know what? The next team that qualifies for the Super Bowl, we're going to take them out and put these teams in and make it equal so that they can get a chance to win the Super Bowl. Or better yet, let's just cancel the Super Bowl. And we'll just take, let's say a team like the Lions, because let's take a team like the Lions, and we just declare them the Super Bowl winner without any playoffs or anything like that. Would we think that's fair? No. Yeah, bring it, boy. I have to admit, too. Yeah, that's the case for today. If you stop a man from raping a child, that you'll probably be seen as a villain too. Even if you, you know, this man is molesting this child and whatever, taking indecent liberties with this child, and you beat him upside the head with a shovel, they'll call you the villain. And not only that, in some cases, the child's rapist can sue you for beating them upside the head with a shovel. That's true. But getting, you know, getting back to what I was saying, you know, about, you know, the Super Bowl, which is an event I don't watch anymore because the NFL has gone woke on us, you know. Us taking a team and saying this team has been so unfortunate, they've never made it to the Super Bowl or they never won a Super Bowl. Let's take the Buffalo Bills or the Minnesota Vikings. Those teams made it to 4 Super Bowls and they lost all the Super Bowls. Well, one day, why don't we just get rid of the playoffs and just say, okay, Minnesota Vikings, what's your record? Oh. 1-16, we'll give you the Super Bowl. We'll give you the Super Bowl trophy because you deserve it. Because all these other teams, we're sick of the Patriots, we're sick of the Cowboys, we're sick of the Denver Broncos, we're sick of the Steelers. They always winning the Super Bowls and everything, and they don't give you all a chance to win the Super Bowl. But the thing is, the amount of work you put in is what rewards you. And not only that, sometimes a team can be notable for winning a lot of games even without winning the Super Bowl. Case in point, Miami Dolphins. Team that is still in my heart. But because I am no longer an NFL fan, I don't give a rip pair of jeans about the whether the Dolphins win or not. Even though a friend of mine told me this Sunday, he told me that their quarterback threw 6 touchdowns in a win this Sunday, and I'm sitting there like, okay, now that I'm no longer a fan of the NFL, now my team wants to start winning. But I don't care about the NFL anymore, you know. And my wife even told me earlier this year, it was either earlier this year or later last year, she said, honey, I'm real sad that you're not going to be watching the Super Bowl. Because that was an event for me. Every year, Super Bowl. And my wife would be like, oh, it's Super Bowl time. My husband wants to watch the Super Bowl. And I would sit there and watch the Super Bowl. Two of the Super Bowls I loved was when them Giants beat the Patriots. Those were my two favorite Super Bowls right there, especially that first one. And whether my team makes it to the Super Bowl or not, I would sit there and watch the Super Bowl. I was going to root for somebody. The last one I actually watched was when the Kansas City Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers. That's the last one I watched. And after that, the NFL got real woke. They were already woke at that time Colin Kaepernick kneeling and everything. And then when the Redskins decided to change their name to the Commanders, you know, because it was offensive, I said, you know what, I'm sick of this. And then you sit there and you watch a game and you see in racism in the end zone and it takes all of us and all that. And they got names of people who have been killed by the police on their helmets and everything. Because y'all just took the fun out of it. Y'all poisoned it with politics. And you took the fun out of watching sports. I don't watch sports to hear your political opinion. I don't sit there and watch sports and say, what does this player think about being a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian? What does he think about Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Barack Obama? I don't watch sports for that garbage. I want to see how many points the Patriots are going to beat the Dolphins by. That's all I care about. I don't need your political rhetoric coming at me from the screen when I'm watching a sporting event. I don't need to hear Stephen A. Smith talk about, you know, how Rachel Robinson was called racial slurs and all that crazy mess. That's not what I watch a sports program for. And it seems like you guys don't get it. Y'all just don't get it. and y'all dig your heels in. And yes, black people, yes, we care about you, yes. Even though them black people in sports, in baseball, basketball, football, hockey, they make more than an average white person does. So don't come to me with this politics and everything. Yeah, you know it, bring it, boy. Yeah, Marino was the man. I don't care what anyone says. Dan Marino was the man, even though his team sucked. But Dan Marino was the man. You know it. I used to love them days. It used to be frustrating, too, because, you know, you would watch the Miami Dolphins. They would win all these games, and then they go into the playoffs and just fall flat on their faces, you know. And you can't blame Dan Marino for that. You can't blame Dan Marino. I blame their management. They had no running game. They had no defense. And it was like every game was on Dan Marino's shoulder. But those were the days. Those were the days. But now politics has poisoned everything. You can't get anywhere without someone adding a dollop of politics to it. You can't go anywhere. And I'm like, come on, y'all. Come on. I don't want to see this. I don't need to see Colin Kaepernick kneeling down. All Colin Kaepernick was trying to do was get a name for himself because he started to suck too. Tremendous athlete, don't get me wrong. I mean, heck, he led the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. They lost. But he led them there, and after that, you know, after the first couple of years of his career, he just went down the tubes. And now everybody's like, oh, y'all just don't want to give him a chance because he's a black. No, he's not black. He's racially mixed, and he was raised by two white people. So don't give me this thing that he's black. I heard someone describe this other kid the other day as being a mixed race and black. How in the world can you be mixed race and black at the same time? You're either mixed race or you're black. You might have a few little races in there, you know, a few little drops here and there. But if you have a white parent and a black parent, you're not black or white. You're mixed race. You're still a human being, though. And I get so sick and tired of these people with the mixed races. They talk about, I'm black. But what about your white parent? To say you're mixed race. And see, that's the thing. That's the reason why I don't like to identify people by race anyway, because we're all human beings. Being black doesn't make me superior to anybody else. Being white doesn't make me superior to anybody else. Being a mixed race doesn't make me superior to anyone else. We are all human beings. Now, I want to know what the fruit bats have to say about this. Anyway, that's my fruit bat alert, and that just lets you know I'm about to go to the phones, and if you're on the phones and you want to indulge in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, gaslighting, character assassinations, trolling, things of that sort, you best hang up now, because if you don't, I'll be happy to oblige you. So having said all that, let me go to the phones. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, what do you say there, Vincent? What's going on?
What's up, man? Hey, I am loving your post on my Facebook page. I am loving it, man.
Vincent, look, I'm going to have to tell you, an ox is not demonic. Ox has been around since the beginning of time. You just didn't hear about him. They stand for life. And you can go to a temple and you can see where the goddess Shishak is giving Ursa Maat, Res of Tepen, Ra, Ramesh, and Marianne, giving him life. But anyway, and you know the cross really stood for divine peace. That's when the cross piece was almost in the middle or just a little bit above. Then it was put up on the top later on. So what else is going on? Where's my friend Irondale?
Irondale's not here. I see Sarge in the chat room, but I don't know why Irondale's not here. He might be Irondale just celebrated a birthday last Saturday, and he might still be in celebration mode or whatever.
Yeah, he's probably still out of breath. You know, you have to blow out that many calories. you have to blow that many calories out. It takes 2 or 3 weeks to recover. You know what I mean? Well, bring Sarge on. I know he has something to talk about.
Is Sarge in here? I see somebody just came into the queue. Let me pull this.
Bring
up.
Him on in.
Yeah, thanks a lot for reminding that brother Vince to not be derelict in his duties, unlike this fruit bat was keeping me from calling in earlier.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, how you doing there, Vince? Good to hear you. I've been meaning to ask one of both of y'all a question, because I haven't had this explained to my satisfaction yet, and I'm really confused. And I got enough things to confuse me already without being confused about this. Now, you know, our great and esteemed lady here in Georgia who is deigning to lower herself from the august position of President of United Earth to be Governor of Georgia. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Stacey Abrams.
Stacey Abrams.
On the Star Trek universe, she was President of United Earth. But she is lowering herself to be our governor, for which, of course, we should be grateful. But if she's going to be our governor, I don't think she should confuse us. So she confused me. Now, she got up there and she made a statement saying that the sound of a fetus in the womb in an ultrasound was manufactured by men to get control over women's bodies, and it's fake anyway. Now,
I
may be improperly paraphrasing what she said, but I think that's pretty accurate. Now, did you or did you not hear say something to that effect?
Yeah, I heard it earlier today.
Well, I just thought maybe, you know, given the fact that I didn't go to college, and I have a poor understanding of things, unlike her, I don't know, she went to every globalist college there is, you know, same was Madeleine Albright went to, and all them other smarty pants and whatnot. But my understanding of, you know, an ultrasound, whenever you see the movies, you watch a guy watching a radar scope or a guy in a submarine is pinging with sonar, and he sends out the sonar beam, and he gets a return, and it's a ping, and you see the scope go around again, and it gets to the point where the bearings, or rather the sonar is being sent on the back azimuth, and get another ping, you know, every time you see the scope go around. You know, you've seen that, right?
Yeah.
Well, my understanding is an ultrasound is simply the sound the machine chooses to interpret the electric contractions of the heart tissue in the fetus that is contracting and making electrical signals. And just like that, ping is not the actual sound the enemy submarine is making. It is what the sound is represented by the machine, so the human being listening can interpret it. So they get the same rhythm. You can tell whether there's some abnormality in the heartbeat by the pace at which it's going, or some defect or other thing by listening to the rhythm of the heart as represented by these electronic transmissions or electrical signals being transmitted into sounds by the machine. But she said somehow, though, that this machine is intended, invented by men, you know, them evil old men who make all these inventions.
Yeah.
You know, the reason that didn't, most of them was just to control women, you know. And this is just one more that has been done to control women's bodies so women won't have freedom to kill their babies or something like that. So I'm asking you, is there any advice? Because I might be going to a rally, and one of, our esteemed would-be Governor Abrams rallies, and I want to be able to advise her on how not to confuse voters like me. What do you think I ought to tell her?
Go sit down somewhere.
Well, it's got to be a picture of a sturdy chair, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Tell her to go sit down somewhere, because she sit there, she bloviates, she bounces that lip and everything, and people sit there and actually listen to her as if she's an expert.
She's bad and
she don't know what she's talking about. I mean, really.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. You got any advice for me to give Bianchi? I mean, what do you think maybe I ought to tell her if I go to one of them rallies where she at?
Well, she ought to read, because these doctors saying the medical textbooks, authority studies, and the nation's leading heart hospital agreed that an unborn child's, quote, heart begins developing at 3 weeks, and that a, quote, heartbeat can be detected by 6 weeks.
Yes, because so that's all. The heartbeat is nothing more than the expansion and contraction of the heart muscle. I mean, I know that I didn't go to college, but she did, and I would be hoping she could help clarify that for me. So she went to, I don't know, 3 or 4 of them, didn't she?
Well, I don't know where she went, but you know some of these damn Democrats, especially these black ones, make up a bunch of stuff like critical race theory. And the thing about it is people believe this mess, man. Black folks, they like to get in front of a bunch of black folks and throw out a new, ooh, teach, preacher, teach. They like to throw their crap out there.
And tell me something, it just seems to me, though, like these people are willing to go to any lengths. They are willing to commit the most desperate of prevarications and mendacities to convince us that what's in the womb is not a human life. They will do almost anything to make us believe
that. You're absolutely right. And then when you don't believe like they do, respond like they do, they say it's something wrong with your mind. That's a carryover from slavery. That the white man taught you something that you're out of your mind. You got a warped mind. You're not spiritually connected. I called and told some. I said, man, why y'all need to stop telling them damn lies?
I mean, really.
It's quite obvious.
I got another question for both of you gentlemen that I became aware of not too long ago, and it has to do with this royal spokeswoman who put John Lamont in his place when he said that maybe royal house ought to look giving reparations to all of the people who have been colonized by Great Britain, and what was her response to that? And I guess she was expecting her to grovel and say, oh, what a great sin it was, and, oh, we're considering how they need. But she just put that man in his place. I thought it was outstanding. But I was wondering what you think it was or what you thought about it.
I thought it was outstanding, too. And even though it was for a split second, Don Lemon, he was like, that's interesting. And he was probably like, okay, here we got another fruitcake right here. But I thought that was epic. I thought she said, okay, well, let's go back to the people. Let's get the reparations from the people who sold us into slavery in the first place. And I'm like, bing, there you go.
Yeah.
But they don't,
she went
they don't
on further
realize...
on another show to elaborate a bit more about Mansa Musa, who in addition to probably, arguably, being one of the wealthiest men who has ever lived, relative to certainly to the economies of the time, that he was a huge slave trader in the Mali Empire, and she went into quite a bit of detail about it, about the Kingdom of Timbuktu and its key role in the slave trade, and I thought that was pretty enlightening also.
Yeah. But everyone thinks.
Who said that? You say who said that about Bassalusa?
The same woman who gave that response to Don Royal.
Oh, Don Lemon. Don Lemon.
Yeah, the same woman who gave that response. She went into a little bit further detail
the
about
Oakland
the wealth,
gay guy.
The Ali Empire, and how much of that wealth, not all, of course, but much of it, came from the slave trade.
Absolutely, he traded his slaves.
Big time. Mm-hmm. He was a massive slave trader.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The Kingdom of Mali.
Yes, you're right. And Don Lemon wouldn't last a half hour in Mali. Well, he's open the gate, sir.
You know what this portends? I tell you, there are two things this portends. In the case of CNN, CNN has changed managerial hands. They are telling them to calm down the wokeness and give their guests a chance to respond fully to the questions posed to them. Now, that is an indication of something. I'm not sure what with regard to CNN, but what I also think it portends generally that is even greater is there's a big, enormous pushback against the whole kingdom of woke. Woke is being beaten back on all fronts. People are now fully aware of it, and in many cases, if they're not actually mustering a concerted counterattack against it, they are figuring out how to go about mustering a counteroffensive against the wokeness.
Well, some senators, Republican senators, called all the bankers to the floor, Jamie Dimon and others, and said, you better leave this stuff alone with this wokeness and this social revolution that you're
ESG,
trying to get into.
What a corporation got this thing called ESG, Economic, Social, and Governance.
Yeah,
you get
trying
credit
to
scores based on your ESG score.
Yeah, that crazy mess. Man, can you imagine that stuff? That is dumb as hell. And nobody's saying nothing about it.
No, they just take it hook, line, and sinker. Like, hey, well, that's
if
just
they
how
said
it
they
is.
They was doing that for redhead white women. Woo wee! You talk about some daggone
oh
shit.
Well, did you see that Chase really executive pushback against Rashida Tlaib when she asked if your firm was going to stop investing in fossil fuels, and he said no, that would be the road to hell for America, and then she had to issue this big tongue lashing against him. But here's the thing. See, this is a thing that's come back to bite. Chase was all in for voting for some of this crap. They're starting to realize now how much it's going to harm the country. And I think they're starting to say, hey, we better rethink this. These people are insane.
Yeah, very much so.
They worse than
yeah,
that. They damn fools.
Yeah.
Oh,
she,
God.
She said,
I mean, the electrical vehicle, the electrical vehicle is a question, is an answer in search of a question. It does nothing either for the environment or to better people's prospects with regard to transportation. In fact, in many respects, it is counterproductive. Now they're talking about electrical semi-trailers. Now think of this. Now, think a semi-trailer. Do you realize an internal combustion engine tractor trailer empty weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 to 35,000 pounds, okay? I mean, it varies depending on how big the engine is and the way the tractor trailer is constructed. But generally speaking, a tractor trailer rig empty, no cargo in it, about 30,000 to 35,000 pounds. Loaded, that sucker weighs 80,000 pounds. In case they went to college and they didn't learn anything about mathematics, that's 40 tons. 40 tons. A lot of tanks don't weigh that much. 40 tons. That's what a loaded tractor trailer rig was. Now, they got the new
Shit, I had a guy. I had a guy. I was in an argument with. He's going to say, and blacks, we built the pyramids. It was blacks who laid them 250-ton bricks.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, man.
I said, you damn fool. And I called the host one, too, for letting it come out.
Yeah. In other words, that's the weight of what? Fully loaded tractor trailer rigs, 8 or 9. But anyway, I swear these people say anything. You know, but again, let's go back to the tractor trailer. You got the tractor trailer. The new electric Hummer H3 that just came out weighs 8,000 pounds. Think about it for a minute. It weighs 8,000 pounds. You know why it weighs 8,000 pounds? It weighs 8,000 pounds because the battery pack in that sucker weighs 3,000 pounds. That's a ton and a half of the weight of a Hummer H3, the electrical one, is the battery pack. Now think for a minute. They need 3,000 pounds to move an 8,000-pound vehicle. We're talking about an electric tractor trailer that's got to move 40 tons? How much is that battery pack? You have to have another trailer to tow the battery pack?
Exactly. Now,
and think of the wear on the roads from all that weight of batteries and the tractor trailer, and think of how much the cargo is going to have to be reduced in order to meet the weight requirements. So, in other words, the truck is going to be less efficient to transport the same weight of cargo because much of the is going to be battery pack. I really don't know how much the battery pack is going to weigh. But if an 8,000-pound Hummer weighs a ton and a half, I would imagine a tractor trailer is going to have to weigh somewhere in the neighborhood of, about 12,000 pounds.
Wow.
Well, you know, that ain't half of it. What about the wear and tear on the damn roads?
Yeah, that's what I just said. I said the wear on the bridges, the wear on the roads. That's going to be accelerated if you're going to carry the same amount of cargo because you still got to deal with the weight of the batteries. And by the way, when a tractor trailer is going down the roads with 1,200 gallons of fuel in it, it burns it up. It gets lighter as it goes down the road. A tractor trailer, as it expends its battery charge, the batteries still weigh the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, electricity that's generated don't weigh much more than light does. Okay?
And see,
when electricity gets generated, it's basically light. It's like light being gone. The battery still weighs the same.
Yeah, they're going to be carrying less load, same number of trips, and that means that the price is going to go up, not only on repairing the roads, but also the food stuff, product stuff, consumer goods that they're going to be hauling.
Wait a minute, that's not all.
Any reaction?
Have you been seeing all these pictures of these electric lithium-ion buses in particular going up in flames? They just had one that spontaneously combusted just sitting there in Paris, and from the moment the smoke started coming out the top of the roof where the battery pack is located to the time it was fully engulfed in flames was 8 seconds. It's a good thing there was no one in it because the people couldn't have gotten out of it. I mean, it looked like? Let me tell you what it looked like. It looked like a Russian T-72 tank that had just been hit by a Javelin missile. You ever see how that flame comes about the hatches? When the propellant charge, high explosive charges, and the rounds and the turrets start going off, that's just what it looked like. Because there's a lot of energy in 7,000 individual lithium ion cells that all of a sudden start to self-combust. There's a lot of energy in that. And that stuff starts going up. It's like Roman candles going off.
Man,
now, see, these people try to make the claim that, gasoline vehicles catch on fire when they get in accidents. Yeah, a kinetic accident can cause the fuel tank to rupture, and some spark or ignition source will set off the fuel, but that's usually after a kinetic accident. An accident. The same thing can happen with a lithium-ion battery if you rupture the battery case. And you short
accident like that fool was driving over 100 miles an hour in Los Angeles when they hit that car and kill that family of five. You're absolutely right.
Right,
the black
one. You have the
same
kind of thing there, too. But here's the difference, though. When those flames start, they can be extinguished relatively easily. The lithium ion will often, even after you extinguish the fire, they will reignite due to the chemical reactions of the electrolyte. And I forget the chemistry of it. But it'll oftentimes just automatically reignite even without oxygen present because the catalyst and the oxidizer is in the electrolyte.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just recombust. These people don't think anything through.
They can't think that far.
That's why they say everything is emergency so they can get it through with no protest because we're going to die if we don't do it. We've got 3 years left. We got to get these electrical vehicles on the road. We got to get them charging stations in places. We're going to be dead if we don't. And then you, no, then they'll make people run in circles and scream and shout, and they get all panicked because that's all. These are smart people. They got college degrees and whatnot. I mean, they must know what they're talking about. They run around, scream, talking, you know, they're all excited. And next thing you know, we get through. There's nothing in place to make it work. No infrastructure. It's worse. It's counterproductive. People can't get charged. They can turn off your car at will because they turn off the electrical circuit. I mean, you can't go no damn where. I mean, you have a hurricane emergency. You got no electrical power. You got to evacuate. You can't get out of town. So they don't think nothing through. But the only question is, will we get more power? Will we get more control? And will we make our elite friends, our elite oligarchical friends, richer? That's the only things they're concerned about. They're not concerned about our welfare. They're not concerned about what's best for the country. And they prove it every day by the idiotic, stupid things they say that are not even thought through if you meant to be doing good.
Having a mass exodus out of the city, they get stuck, bogged down, can't go nowhere on the highway. They're going to block the roads big time so emergency vehicles can't get through. That's by putting people's lives at danger.
Yeah. And not only that, in California, they're talking about switching to the so-called green energy by 2035, but they said they'll have to uproot their entire electrical grid in order to do so, which that would be basically an impossibility. You know, and they
don't
think about the cost of the batteries. They don't think about the cost of the batteries. Those batteries that go into those cars are not cheap. They're $26,000. You know,
depends
and it takes about 2 hours to charge them up.
About at least $12,000, between $12,000 and $25,000,
What electrical system that's going to still be online, that electricity going to cost more for big businesses.
Exactly.
And then they're going to have to raise the price to the consumer goods that they make. So consumers getting had on the pass down, the tore-up roads, emergency vehicles can't get through. They're going to get passed down on the building of new grids and power stations for the added load. I mean, that's four things. Then they're going to get raped on the price of the vehicle itself. And heaven help them if they got to buy a new battery. That's six things right there.
To say nothing of the increased environmental costs associated with the need to generate more electricity to run the electrical cars, which in the end will be powered by, guess what? Fossil fuels that had to generate the electricity to charge them.
Hey, that's right. That's seven things.
About the environmental damage caused by the toxic chemicals in the lithium-ion batteries, which at this state seem to be the only batteries with sufficient energy density to propel a car with any amount of decent range. Now, they got certain alternative batteries that are less environmentally toxic and less likely to combust, but their energy density is so low, they're just not going to do the job that people expect to have in a car. Lithium ion is the only thing that seems to provide an appropriate amount of energy density, roughly comparable to fossil fuel, and even then, it ain't even close.
Well, not only that, that's number eight. I put number nine out there. Some of those batteries depend on a very product called coal dust.
Yep.
Well, I'm not sure about coal dust, but it's cobalt they definitely got to have.
I'm going to find out which one it is here because I learned.
I think it's
I
cobalt,
had it written down.
Lithium ion. Some of them use a kind of aluminum stuff, but it's definitely the stuff they use are definitely rare earth minerals that have to be strip mined. What do you think strip mining does to Mother Earth?
Hello. There we go.
Have you seen those lithium mines and big strips in the earth crust? It takes 500,000 pounds of the earth's crust to be dug up approximately to make one electrical vehicle battery. You hear what I said? One. They got to dig up 500,000. That's half a million. That's half a million pounds of the earth's crust to make one battery. 500,000 pounds.
Plus, number 10, lithium iron batteries require a lot of water. They only been around for a decade at the most. Coal is organic material. It's been around forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's natural material.
It's a natural material.
Now, we got to remember now, because of what they've done, these idiot greenies in the European Union, now we got the Germans got to still around stripping the black forest of wood to keep old folks from freezing this winter.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
you're
going
to have
too.
To.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have to spend more time on the highway. This is number 11, because you're not going to have the mileage range that you do with organic fuel vehicles. You're going to have to stand in line to get the damn thing charged.
When you got to run the heater and the lights or in the
and
summer,
the windshield wipers,
run the air conditioning and your stereo, because then you're they give you those mileage figures when all the accessories aren't working. You start turning on those accessories, that range drops significantly for as much as 25% to 30%. And let's not talk about the lack of the loss of battery efficiency in cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Oh, a lot of stranded people in the cold weather.
That's
yeah,
12.
We think we got gas lines. We think we got gas lines today. We complain about being in a gas line.
About electric cars. Think about electric cars. Now you run out of gas in an electrical car, you could containerize the battery in the form of a 5-gallon can, and you can carry it to the stranded car. A 5-gallon can. Remember, gasoline weighs less than water by a unit of measure. A gallon of gasoline is actually lighter than water. So you can carry your 5-gallon or 2-gallon or 1-gallon of gas to your car, get your car started, and on 1 gallon of gas, typical car go 20, 22 miles. So you can go 22 miles, get more. You don't have to fill up the tank. You just put 2-3 gallons, 1-3 gallons, and you can drive pretty much anywhere and find some more gasoline to fill up the tank. With an electrical vehicle, the only way you're going to get going is two ways. You're going to put it on the back of a flatbed and tow it out. Or number two, you got to bring an electrical generator powered by, guess what, fossil fuels and generate
organic
enough electricity to get that sucker charged up.
Yeah,
or
organic.
A big-ass trailer with a huge bank of batteries on it.
Yeah, powered by organic fuel, not fossil.
I mean, this is one of the biggest scams I have ever seen. And the worst part of it all is not in letting people make up their own minds about what type. Because I could see a niche for electrical vehicles for certain applications. I'm not against electrical vehicles.
Yeah, like on golf carts.
Yeah, the problem is that the damn government is trying to mandate it and giving subsidies for it.
Now, you know how to stop that? Get the states to control the damn federal government, and the states control the people they send to the federal government. You bring them in and call them to the damn carpet and say, if you don't do like we expect you to do, being that you work for us, we're going to get rid of you.
Yeah, I mean, look, if a state can, like California can say we're going to ban the sale of internal combustion engine vehicles after a certain date, 2035, whatever they said, then another state can say we're going to ban the sale of electrical vehicles after a certain date, or starting right now. You know, it can go both ways, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and then you got to look at the water. Oh, Vincent, look at the water it takes to make just 1 ton of lithium. 500,000 gallons, according to this report. So wait a minute. So if you're using all this water to make batteries, what about for vegetation and farming? What are you going to do then? And also, if you put less CO2 into the atmosphere, then what are the poor plants that are going to eat? And plants through a
Brother
process.
Brother Bianchi, you seem to forget about what Brother Bill Gates says he's going to do for us. He's going to manufacture meat in the lab, in a laboratory.
Oh, shit.
So you ain't got to worry about no water for no farm animals and can on. They don't need none of that water. They ain't going to exist. They're going to make you kill all of, they're going to have a genocide, all the cattle and sheep and goats and pigs, and they're going to toss them in a big pit somewhere, and you'll be living on manufactured meat made in a factory by Bill Gates. Ain't it grand? Oh, yes, a mealworm.
Well, you know, here's another thing.
And don't forget, they're going to make mealworms, and they're going to make crickets and grubs. So
you
Here you go. If they don't have the carbon dioxide, the plants can't, through the process of photosynthesis, take the oxygen out of that molecule and send the carbon down through the root system back into the ground.
That
way the organisms in the ground, like worms, won't have no food.
I know. Carbon dioxide literally makes possible all animal life on the planet. They take carbon dioxide. They use it as part of what they need for photosynthesis together with light, and they produce oxygen for us.
Carbon dioxide
helps plants grow. And even if there is greater global warming as a result of increased CO2 emissions, what would that mean? Okay, you might have a little more rainfall and whatnot, but guess what? You could have a longer crop growing season too.
That's right. It's just ridiculous what these dummies are thinking about doing. It's all about money.
Yep.
And you got these corporations that's influencing to the greatest extent these politicians. But it goes back down to one thing. People are letting them do this. You are letting your politicians go along with this crap. You supposed to control them. What the hell use is it for voting for local and state if you're going to leave it up to the federals to do everything and make the decisions?
Pionki, I've been following this ever since 1970. They've been saying the earth is going to end within 10 years if we don't do something since 1970. Every 2 years, something's going to happen within 3 to 5 years, and there'll be no more life on earth if we don't stop doing what they'll do. I swear, they've been doing it ever since then. This is nothing.
Well,
they're trying to stampede us.
You know, I could go along with that as long as that deaf angel is selective.
Oh, man, I swear. This environmental scam is the biggest attempted seizure of totalitarian control, I believe, in the history of mankind. I used to think it was like a fringe nutcase Fruit Loop sort of fringe group. But, man, I didn't realize once you ally it with Marxism, you ally environmentalism with Marxism. Remember, these people are like watermelons. They're green on the outside. They're red on the inside. I mean, they're like environmental Marxists. When you ally the two together, you have got probably the most dangerous force for the imposition of worldwide tyranny that we have ever seen in our history. Ever.
Wow.
They say by the year 2025, there's going to be millions of EV batteries reach the end of their initial life cycle.
Now, see, you guys, I did not put this show up today so you all can come on here and talk science. Because we have a conservative bent and we don't like science. Okay, and see, you all are coming on here talking your science and everything, and y'all just had to put a dent in everything.
Well, wait a minute. What are the Eskimos going to do? What are the people that stay in the Himalaya Mountains? What are the people that's going to stay in rural mountain area where they're in the tundra? They use snowmobiles, gasoline-powered snowmobiles. When they go out and hunt and they get a whale, they use that snowmobile to bring that whale back to the village to feed the people. And it runs off of gasoline.
I know. They don't have a lot of infrastructure.
They
don't have a lot of electrical infrastructure out there that isn't powered by a generator.
That's right.
Exactly.
Up there,
like
sometimes you have 24 hours
of
darkness, Vincent. You would be scared up there in the wintertime. 24 hours of darkness, no sun is shining. And for months leading up to that period, the sun is very, very diminutive. Ain't going to charge nothing. You cannot use solar power up there. Hell, you go to bed charging, you wake up tomorrow, you got 2 foot of snow on your panels.
And see, they don't think about this type of stuff.
Get this, Bianchi. Right now, these electrical policies, the energy policies, are ginning up the price of electricity. Right now, the typical electrical user in the country, depends on where you live, as how much it is, but hardly anybody's paying more than a penny per kilowatt hour. Many people are paying like half that, okay? That's a typical charge for electricity. But now they're looking at with these new energy and environmental policies, That number has been projected to rise, listen to me now, as high as 15 cents a kilowatt hour. So whatever your, if that is true and that occurs, whatever your electrical bill now is, multiply it by 15 times, and that's what you're going to be paying per month for electricity.
Wow.
Well, I think it's 6 cents in Missouri. I'll check and see. I have to see what unit of measurement.
Well, they usually go by the kilowatt hour. I'm looking at mine right now from the Snap and Scholes Electrical Membership Corporation. And I look at my bill here, and it says the base charge is
Missouri is 10.17 kilowatt hour.
It's less than one. It's 0.0853 per kilowatt hour. So that's less than a penny.
Well, you're doing well because Missouri average is 10.17. And it's cheap.
I'll pay more.
They rank 36 in the state, in the nation.
I pay about $150 a month for my electrical bill.
I wonder what California is.
Oh, I don't even want to. I just want to stay with my. The very thought of going in and looking at the prices for anything in California would give me a heart seizure or something. So that's why I didn't think. But I didn't want to go.
Yes, you're right.
I didn't want to think about it.
Holy goodness.
Well, I'm telling you, hey.
I'm telling
and
you.
And then, too, with all this, it's going to make it harder for us fruit bats to fly.
That's a good thing, though. Don't you
don't have no fruit to eat.
That way, all you got to do is take your bat. You got to take your bat, your actual baseball bat, and you can smash little buggers that hobble around on the sidewalk.
Don't they think about us fruit bats?
That's a good thing, Bianchi.
They don't think about us fruit bats. We got to fly.
Well, the fruit bats.
Well, they're supposed to be environmentalists and all that and everything. So I don't know. Maybe they'll find out a way to provide for the fruit bats.
If they're such environmentalists, haven't they noticed how all the caribou flock and reproduce around the pipelines because they're warm?
Holy cow!
I mean,
California,
that,
30 cents a kilowatt hour.
When people were pointing out that the caribou and the elk and all these other animals in the tundra were going around the pipelines where it was warm, and they were doing more breeding as a result.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same thing with the Florida manatees.
In California, a kilowatt hour. That's about $3,000 a year. Good gracious of life.
Man, I'm telling you, I have no, man, I'm telling you. Everything this administration has done or is doing, the policies they're promoting, whether the policies that they're turning a blind eye to in the city, no cash bill, the benighted state that I once put my life on the line to help protect, state of Illinois, is now eliminating cash bail for even violent offenses, including second-degree murder. There's no more cash bail. And they're not putting, that goes no more cash bail, even with bail jumpers and previous offenders. Because remember what the purpose of bail is to ensure that you're going to show up in court. That's really the only purpose of bail. It's not meant
well,
to
you
punish
know.
You or anything. But if you got a clear record or likelihood you won't show up in court, that's the basis to deny you bail. And they don't even have it in the first place now. They practically eliminated cash bail in the state of Illinois.
Well, you know another thing. They talk about they want Stacey Abrams to be governor. The first black female.
Who is they?
Well, hell. Oh, you got voices out there to talk about it. Talk Host Hurst, Mo Ivory, and the Black Eagle, and a lot of them. But here's the point. She can't do shit if the damn legislator don't want her to do anything. What's she going to do?
Yep.
They got a Republican majority legislature in all of them states. So she can, it's just like here in Louisiana. Bill Edwards is a Democratic governor. I don't know why they elected him. Well, he can't do nothing. Every now and then he might do something because it favors them floppy, shady Republicans. But Stacey Asian can't. You can have 12 of her. You can, blacks, you can't outvote whites in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the other thing, the reality. All blacks don't want to vote for Stacey Abrams anyway. Now what?
Especially black men.
Exactly.
And we got a lot of polls showing. And, yeah, black women, of course, being fanatical Democrats, and I hate to say it about black women, but it appears more and more that's true. They're just fanatical, unblinking, unthinking Democrats. But black men, to a degree, still a majority are going to vote Democrat, but an increasingly larger number of black men are breaking away from the Democrat Party, and especially Stacey Abrams. We've got all kind of recent polls in Georgia to show that it's true.
And look at her hair. Her hair look a mess. They used to talk about Gabby Douglas and Simone Biles' hair. You had black women. Have you looked at this woman's hair? Good gracious. She's just coming in from work or what?
My concern about her, Pianchi, is for the safety of every buffet table in Georgia. They might be in jeopardy if she's running around with Georgia taxpayer money transferring her from place to place and buffet tables lined up everywhere. Nobody will get any food. Everybody be starved to death. Stacey Abrams took it all up.
That's it.
Look,
y'all need to quit.
I'm willing to vote for the woman if she wants to run again or be appointed or whatever she was as president of United Earth. I will cast my vote and send it. You go be president of United Earth wherever that is. Okay? Leave Georgia alone.
Exactly. Boldly go where no man has gone before.
There you go. Listen, you got my vote. I'm going to vote for you. For president of United Earth.
Well, dude. Well, I tell you, it has been another informative show. I really appreciate you guys coming on here and giving your scientific facts on here and showing me your PhDs hanging on your wall and everything.
Piled handy.
I mean, really, and see, that's what I like about doing these programs. I want people to get something out of it and everything, and y'all just handed out a bunch of information, you know, that a lot of people need to hear. And Bring It Boy, you just told me that California is 19.39 cents per kilowatt hour.
You got to be kidding me.
No, it's
you
more than that. It's 30.
You got to be kidding me.
It's 30,
how can they
Bring It Boy.
Like that?
He say the average electricity use in California is $296 a month, and it's saying that if California costs 30 cents a kilowatt hour.
Lord have mercy.
Mm-mm-mm.
Whatever happened
the average.
To that wonderful state, man. That used to be a fantastic state.
It was,
totally.
And it wasn't that long ago either. It wasn't
it
that
long
ago
man.
Either.
No.
Yeah.
Man, they ruined it. Oh, they won the greatest state in the union, and they just utterly ruined it.
Yeah,
and
that's
per
bad.
Year than anybody. They use 11.7 kilowatt hours over the course of a year, and I know some states they use at least 20. So they got their lights. They're walking around in the dark and paying out the kazoo.
That's crazy. Oh,
that
man.
Is mad.
Yeah,
mad. This is what the Democrats want for us. This is what the Democratic Party portends for the United States. This is what they say that the same mother, and look, that's the cover. That is the cover for them to implement totalitarian controls and reward their rich oligarch friends and to satisfy their craving for the ultimate power over our lives. They want us to be their serfs while they be the oligarchs and the feudal lords. That's what they want. All of it tinged with a veneer of velvet glove socialist Marxism. It is the most hideous dystopian future I can imagine.
Well, I'm going to live out my oath to the Fruit Club Confederacy. I'll see you guys next week.
Okay.
Yeah, good talk to
all
you,
right,
Pianchi. Keep up the good work.
Yes. And I'm going to go ahead and go on and end this show. I got some things I got to do and whatever. Thank you, Sarge, for coming on. I really appreciate the information you give out. you and Bianchi really make this show what it is. You know, it's not just about me and whatever, but it's about the information that people can get. And a lot of times it's some, a guest can come on and give out that information that's all that matters in the world. And I just appreciate that.
Well, you know, I'm glad you have the courage to get up here and say what needs to be said. And your forum is a place for these ideas to be expressed and these counter arguments to be made, because for too long, the other side of the aisle has had things their own way. For too long, they've been able to bully, intimidate, and extort their way to keeping people to shut up. But now it ain't that way no more. They don't own all the airwaves. So thankfully, we can get a little bit of information, the alternative information, out to folks.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I really appreciate it. But I'm going to go ahead and end the show. Thank you for coming on. And next week, God